gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. What? I'm almost ready. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. All right. Or SexyLiberal.com. SexyLiberal on Facebook as well. Yahoo. Waiting for Sexy Liberal. Aisha Tyler, I'm here in my Tuesday uniform because I'm a big geek.
Yeah, you are.
I'm wearing my boogity cheese t-shirt.
Boogity cheese.
Boogity cheese. Yeah. And I brought the, because with so many fine artists in Seattle, someone made an Aisha Tyler
We
painting.
Should show that to the Ustream cameras.
Boogity cheese. Well, I can't reach that now.
Well, then.
All right, she'll be here in a moment.
Okay.
All right, we assume she'll be here in a moment. You know how she is.
She's sexy and liberal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. So, kids, let's see, lots of letters. About the sexy liberal in Seattle this past weekend, Mara. The official lazy-ass stalker in Seattle whose cell phone shook hands with your hoo-ha. Oh, it was her cell phone that I took a picture of my...
Your junk?
Yeah, and tweeted it to everybody. It's a thing. Hey, Mama, you and the man meet guest mooks were awesome in Friday Night Show in Seattle. I can't believe the energy and charisma pouring from the stage, not to mention the intelligence and humor. And in my case, Chardonnay. I'm the hippy-dippy stalker whose cell phone went into that dark abyss where only dusty eggs dare venture. Thanks again for that. You really bumped up my street cred a notch with my fellow chatters. Oh, she's in the chat room.
Oh, yay.
So even though your announcement of dating Lenora or Linda or Lucretia burst my dream... Oh, see, that was the joke before. It's getting Jim Ward's girlfriend's wife's now's name wrong.
Great.
And now it's getting my girlfriend's name wrong because I get it.
I'm sure
it.
Lenore okay. really appreciates
yeah.
that.
Burst my dream of your falling helplessly for me at the meet and grub. I laughed my ass off, though. I had so much fun. Mara. Thanks, Mara. Carrie says, Steph, Saturday night so much fun. I can now say that I had my first girl-on-girl kiss by a bona fide celebrity lesbian. Oh, that's right. I might have, yeah, like my friend told you at the, Oh, I was in the third row, got caught up in your slutty rubbing. I loved it. Like my friend told you at the meet and grow up, it's the most action I've had in over a year since getting a divorce.
Oh.
My pleasure, Carrie. I don't know. I couldn't remember who groped who and who tongued who. The Sexy Liberal Show.
Did Lenore approve this?
I don't know. I don't remember.
All right.
All right. Karen in Downers Grove. Wow. I got to say, this is the most... I thought Seattle would be some crazy bitches. I didn't even know we had rebooked Madison's show, but apparently the one-year anniversary of Sexy Liberal.
That's why I keep telling people
yes.
to go to Sexy Liberal to the show yes. section. You'll find some surprises.
Who knew? Karen says, woohoo, just bought my VIP tickets to the Madison show in April 2012.
Yep.
Wow. I don't even have a paper calendar that goes that far yet. Take that, manic calendar-filling husband. Karen in Downers Grove, who apparently will see me. You know what? I tried to get your tickets earlier. I don't know that I'm going to last that long, but thank you anyway. Why? Sexy Liberal Aisha Tyler's here. Thank God she has finally made it. All right, so yeah, go to sexyliberal.com. There's things on there even I don't know about. But L.A. Up next,
yep.
maybe some special guests. Mightn't there be some special guests in the L.A. show? Aisha Tyler. There's San Francisco and all kinds of good stuff coming up as we continue. Our sexy liberal march. Hello!
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. It's a little creepy, isn't it? It's like a little altar has been built to you. I'm wearing my boogity cheese t-shirt.
Someone
has made a painting
Someone
of you.
Someone has made a lovely painting.
Yes.
And it's encased in plastic. I don't know if it's for my protection or... Or theirs, but
yes.
It's adorable. It's adorable. It's really cute.
Let's hope they didn't do anything to it before they sent it to you. Maybe that's why it's in plastic.
I don't know. It's yeah, like if it
it's
was
an
like,
homage.
Like lip. Like if I ran like a blue light over it, there'd be like a little lip outline, and they'd smooch the paper. It's very cute, my likeness.
Yes, it's a boogity cheese operating room.
And they've sliced the entire top of my head off.
Isn't that
really
nice?
A little reckless
Thank
on their
you.
Part.
Thank
Couldn't
you.
They have just cut a little piece over? Oh, my God.
Okay, can I take a moment to say, Aisha Tyler's husband is so yummy.
Aww.
Oh, my God, he's such a big hunk of man meat.
Oh,
he's so,
so
cute and handsome and smart.
Aww.
I got to meet him.
He's a honey bunny mumzums. Yeah, he is.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know. It's disgusting.
Okay, just let me gush about him because you get disgusting.
I'm disgusting. I'll admit it. I'm repulsive.
Literally, Chris LaVoy, it was, I don't know.
Right.
10-minute conversation. I think she said, I love you and I miss you. Maybe, I don't know,
oh, it's
20 times.
Now it's just like, it's affection, you know, Tourette's. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, it's gross. It's totally gross. I apologize for everything that happens to me
That's right.
When I leave the show. I went to sleep like 45 minutes ago. So I'm so tired.
Aww,
I'm not going to remember my name.
Aww,
I know. Aww. I don't I feel.
Thank you
I'm
for coming
confused.
In.
I'm happy to be here.
You know,
I don't know where here is.
You know what will perk you up is you can make fun of what I brought for breakfast like you normally do.
I will. It smells like salad.
Can I have my recipe music? Because I don't give out my mom's recipes very often, but you guys have to try
mom's
this.
Recipe.
It's my mom's shrimp, tomato, and pea.
That
I don't know why I just suddenly turned the show into like a cookie
is
show.
Is this the mom's recipe music?
Yes.
It's adorable. Someone has like a floral apron with the ruffles around the edges, and she's bending down to take the can of peas and open it and pour it in. You cook.
No, it's a bag of frozen peas now that you mention it.
Okay, good. That's
okay,
better.
Here's what you do. Okay, so you saute a little onion and green pepper.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. No.
You're already out?
Yeah, green peppers, and I don't agree.
Oh, no. Like it's some kind of political statement.
Yeah.
You and I will never come together on this issue. On the issue of green peppers, we will never agree. We will never see eye to eye.
You mock my mother's Thanksgiving sauerkraut, and most people love it.
I got to tell you
something.
Everywhere
I go, people go, thank you for that recipe. We make it every year in my family now.
Thanksgiving sauerkraut should never be put together.
Exactly.
It's delicious.
You mocked my mother's.
You burned it.
You love my mother's Easter liver, and I will never, never forgive you.
I was drunk the year I burned the sauerkraut. I was having a rough year, as you know. I'm having a bad
life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway, my point is, after you've look at people are trying to write this recipe down, and you keep it up. All right. So you saute the onions and the green peppers, and then some shrimp. I got some
shrimp.
Yes.
Onions, green peppers,
and
shrimp.
Then some raw shrimp.
And then the pièce de résistance.
And then
a bag
a couple
of peas.
Cans of stewed tomatoes.
Oh, the tomatoes are in there. Yes. Okay.
And then you put a little flour in to thicken it.
Oh.
And then you put the bag of frozen peas in.
What is happening?
It's delicious.
And you're
salt
eating
pepper.
That for breakfast.
I made brown rice, and you put it over brown rice, and that is my mom's shrimp, tomato, and pea,
did you
everybody.
Forget something, Stephanie?
What?
The onion strips. Those little crispy onion strips
the
that come out of
onions,
it. Yes,
yeah.
The French onion lings. What are those called? The onion strips or the onion... What are they called?
I don't know. French's fried onions,
fried
I think.
Fried onions,
yeah.
Mm. Which
I'm guessing Chris Christie likes those. I'm just, all right, it's
Chris
time
Christie.
For the Chris Christie jokes. Okay, so he's told, what has he done now? He's asked several other Republicans who are about to endorse other candidates to hold off till tomorrow.
Yes.
So
he could drop 20 pounds.
He could...
Just give me a sauna. Look, I'm on Atkins, and I feel like if you just give me till the morning, I'm going to put on my plastic outfit
like
and take a couple of laps.
He's
trying to get down to his weight class. Look, I'm going to run.
Like in the cartoon where you walk out, like,
you know. Yeah, exactly. Put him in. Or what was it? You put them in a little steam box, and then their whole body would shrink, and their head would go inside.
When I was in high school, that was one of my weight loss things. I got it. It was out of the back of a comic book or a magazine or something. Mm-hmm. It was, I swear to God, it was like a little box. It was a, you know, they gave you a basically, it was a stool and like a little steamer.
I thought those were only seen in Tom and Jerry cartoons.
No, I got it.
And then you come out and your head is the size of a pin and you come out.
And you plug the steam in and it's just like a little, I don't even know what it is. It's a rubber or something. It's like a little tent. It's a little tent and your little head just sticks out and there was a stool.
Terrible.
No, I don't know what they charge for that, but I bought
it. You were desperate to lose weight as a child, weren't you?
Oh, I also bought those. Yeah, well, I was a little hefty.
How old were you? Were you plump and juicy?
I was a little. It was not the sophomore. It was like I was a sophomore-saurus.
Oh.
Yeah.
We all go through it.
Anyway,
I was a husky child.
No, I also bought those pants, the plastic pants that you stuck the vacuum cleaner into the side of it.
Oh, and it sucked your fat magically.
And gave you hickeys.
Yeah, it did. Yes,
or I can't remember what
that kind of sweat that accumulates around your butt, your butt and thighs.
It's
like sweating.
Anyway, we're just thinking of the measures that Chris Christie must be going
Poor
to today.
Chris Christie.
To try and...
The thing is, when I was doing a little TV show last week, I was talking about this, that like...
The View,
The talk. It was the talk. It's okay. I'm sure they get it mixed up sometimes.
Right.
but, you know... I was talking about this, about the fact that I think, it's easy for us to make fun of him because he's fat. But as a culture, I think we haven't quite accepted the idea that some people are just born that way. It took extraordinary measures to get that big.
No, but do you? Well, Hal does that line about that we think, being gay is a choice and being fat is genetic. I mean, it's an interest. I had a black woman come up to me at the VIP meet and greet in Seattle and say.
How dare she?
Well, exactly. But she said, we're never going to elect a fat president. She said, we hate fat people more than we hate black people.
Wow.
I was like, what?
Honestly, it's interesting. There is a contempt for overweight people because we think that it's their fault. It's something you did to yourself. My sister, she's very curvaceous.
Right.
And I think she's beautiful. But she's always been that way. From the time we were kids. And we have the same parents and we have totally different body makeups. But if she was as big as Chris Christie, that would, I think being her weight that she is now is something she's always had going on. I think if she was Chris Christie's weight, that
I would
just,
give anything.
You've probably given up trying to eat healthy.
If he embraces it, if he at his press conference actually plays Born This Way, then I think that would be fun.
If you elect a president like Chris Christie, you had better get a really healthy vice president. Like Lance Armstrong had better be the vice president.
Yeah.
Somebody like, I don't know, a welterweight boxer who, has like 2% body fat and eats green sprouts.
No, I've said that legitimately. I do think that's a health issue.
Any other. We could drop
like John
at
McCain
any minute.
Being his age and
John McCain
survivor.
Being crushed with rage.
Yes, having an anger management problem.
just Mr.
That clearly
Fury.
Must infect every internal organ.
Oh, he just gets up in the morning and just goes,
I bet many of his organs have already liquefied from fury.
They cut dead people open and they pull out their internal organs and they're like, and here's his liver, rendered solid by his eternal rage. His tiny black heart, crushed to the size of a diamond by his simmering fury. He's got one lung and it's barely inflating. He's so angry. Yeah, that's what's happening.
All right.
You were going to say something about Chris Christie.
Now we're going to pause briefly.
But your friend who comes in and interrupts you is back.
Yes, it's 18 minutes after the hour. In a good way.
But we're so happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here.
I just love that I bet there are people that wrote that recipe down and they wrote the entire transcript like a court reporter. So all the
don't forget,
jokes and interruptions
don't forget
are
the
there.
Onion strips. Don't forget them.
There are no onion strips.
But I'll bet you would be better with French's onion strips.
All right, 19 minutes after the hour. Right back with more Tuesdays with Tyler on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
She's crafty. She gets a wild. She's crafty.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler, which during the commercial break was really disgusting. You were just Chris Farley the entire break.
Wow.
I love that one. The podcast, that one girl and guy, the one where you're talking to Chris Hardwick, and then also you were really great on the talk, or the view, or the look, or
the look,
yeah,
whatever
I can't
it was.
Believe I screwed that
the look
up.
Of love. Uh-huh. It's
silly.
Okay.
And then
it's
here
okay.
It is, Ustream. Here, and then we also have given her the piece of art that someone made for Aisha in Seattle. Look at that.
It's adorable. It's adorable. You have amazing fan stuff. They're like, they're all, they don't just listen. They're like actively contributing to the show. They're like, I listened, and then I drew what just happened, and now I'm going to stick in the mail.
Trust me, people blurt things out at Sexy Liberal, and I'm going, wow, have you listened to every minute
every
of the radio show? You know every
transcribed
reference.
Transcribed it. I'm a calligrapher. I've written every episode down in calligraphy on scrolls.
Chris and I ever told you the story about the time we hired one of my stalkers by accident?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
No, you hired. This was before I got to
like,
the show.
Don't long,
long time
me
ago.
Lady. Did you know
he was
happened?
Very talented, and, he was... fan, as it turns out, and
he was a great writer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but he was writing red rum all over the studio and lipstick.
And how did that happen? Once we were like, I wish we had that one show because remember we did that thing, and he goes, I have them, and we go, what do you mean? Which one? And he said, all of them.
Oh no.
We were like, how many? You mean for the last? What was it? 5 years?
Yeah.
He goes, I have every show.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. It's like that scene.
In a vault in my basement.
That scene when Frodo is standing on the road from the Shire, and the ride of the Black Riders are coming. Frodo! That's what it felt like, just the camera pulling away from you.
All right.
Yeah. Well, Chris, you said that she hasn't been here for a while because I'm too awkwardly enthusiastic about her in a non-gay way, but it's you.
That's neither of you. I love you both.
Slobber all over you.
I've
towel off. I've
deep abiding affection for you both. I just also have deep abiding affection for Sleep.
Sleep, yes. I don't blame you.
But right. I love being here. And then I don't want people out there to think that I don't come in and I'm just like lying in the bed, schnookled up, like listening to. No, I've only not been able to come because I've been working. I've been out of town.
I know.
Yeah. I've been out of and gone. But
we know. We've been following you.
Oh, yes. Yeah. How many episodes do you have, Chris?
We implanted that GPS in you. We know. I forgot to tell you because I haven't seen you since I got back from my, I did my 50th vacation in France.
You're amazing.
And let me tell
vacation.
You, also the mad. This is not just domestic. The international words of love that open every door. Aisha Tyler.
I am indeed the female black David Hasselhoff.
Literally the first hotel, they're like, you're Aisha's friend. Come in. Literally, I got a balcony with a view of the Louvre and the Eiffel Tower.
Oh, God.
They're like, I'm sorry, did you say Aisha?
Yes. They immediately conflated me with someone who was famous. The other Aisha. The one from I don't know.
No. That's not what happened.
No, not that one. Not the one from Dusseldorf.
No.
The pictures of your vacation were fabulous.
Thank you. They're up on StephanieMiller.com, aren't they? Stephanie Miller on Facebook.
You're sharing.
And our little France slideshow.
And on your Google Plus page.
Awesome.
Anybody would love to come and give me maybe, Chris, you can give me like an off-air tutorial on Google Plus.
Yeah.
I've had it for like months. I still don't know how to use it. I should tell her just plus one to can of peas that she's going to use in her Stephanie Miller shrimp recipe. I have no idea how to use
it. Plus one is basically Chris, like the like button.
But I don't know how to share. Like, I don't know how to see other people's things. I don't know how they
see
my
anything.
Things.
Okay.
Chris has told me I tend to over emoticon. Because I don't know how to, I don't even know how to make the little spaces with regular things.
She just writes Mitzelplick. that doesn't mean anything. Uh-uh. That's not an actual thing.
You've had to tell me several times it's the thing with the semicolon. Is that how you do the winky smiley?
Oh, yeah. Semicolon is a wink.
Yeah.
Yes.
We all learned that back in the 90s.
It's so cute.
I miss that train.
My niece can give you an emoticon lesson. Isn't that so sad? She's wailing on the emoticons. She's just like a young Warhol with the emoticons.
I just learned a blind copy, which I still don't necessarily do correctly.
I'm going to noodle your head in a minute.
All right, stop it.
One of my best friends and I have decided to LOL after every single thing we write each other.
Oh, God.
So just like it's like an irony exercise. So we just LOL all the time. We're like, hey, I'll see you in a couple minutes. LOL. That has nothing to do with anything.
Nothing, yes.
But yeah, that's how older people use the LOL. So we're just doing that now.
Hey, guess what? I don't mean to be a name dropper, but we're talking to Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez next. So there.
LOL.
LOL.
LOL. OMFG.
LMFAO.
29 minutes after the hour.
ETW.
GTK. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. ASAP.
Stephanie Miller.
I have no reason to hug her other than my love of having boobs pressed against me.
If I hugged you, I would angle it so that you got no boobs.
And I would anticipate your angling and I would get there.
What's happening?
I don't know. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, what a treat this is, not only because we've all wished he really was president for so many years during the Bush administration, but he's also in my favorite movie, American President, Martin Sheen and Emilio Estevez, the power duo. Hello, Martin. Hello, Emilio.
Hello, morning. How are you?
Now, don't talk at the same time. Hi, Martin.
Hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you? You really are. I quote.
Thank you.
I quote American president like it's nobody's business.
Well, I'm very fond of that picture too, of course.
And how many times has
the West Wing for me? You know.
Mm-hmm. Well, how many times has someone actually said to you, "I wish you were actually president" during the Bush years?
Well, a lot of desperate people were saying that during the Bush years, but
oh my God, right.
Thank God we've got. the best man in the job right now.
Agreed.
Yes,
agreed. Hear, hear. Emilio, you you have the I didn't realize I was reading about this film that looks incredible the way, and you wrote it and directed it.
That's right. That's right.
Is it hard to direct your dad? Is he impossible to work with?
No, man. He is so cool. He's just the coolest on set. You know, my mother was on set with us as well, and she would tell me and confide in me, like halfway through the shoot, she said, you know, I haven't seen your father work this hard or be this disciplined since he was a young struggling actor in New York in the early 60s.
Wow, that's
the level.
And I was paid about the same amount.
So this is this film really does sound fascinating. Martin, you play Tom, an American doctor who comes to France to collect the remains of his adult son, played by Emilio. Emilio, are you in it? Is it one of those, like, you're in it for 3 seconds before you die, or how long?
I've been in it for about 6.2 seconds. It's a very brief appearance.
He makes an appearance throughout the film as the ghost of himself, and he leads me across the Camino.
Right. So that's what you do.
It becomes the inspiration for my journey.
Right. You decide to embark on this, historical pilgrimage, to finish it on behalf of your son.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it talks about sort of the people you meet and the effect it has on him and you, his, you call it California bubble life. Explain what that means.
Well, he lives very isolated. You know, he's from up in Ventura, and he's an ophthalmologist, and he belongs to the country club. So he's very isolated from, the rest of the world. And he's torn out of his placid existence and dropped into the mountains of, of Spain and France. To collect the remains of his son who died on this pilgrimage during a freak storm in the Pyrenees. And while he's there, he makes a very impromptu decision to do the journey for him. He's not prepared emotionally, physically, spiritually in any way to do it. But he has the old American, I'll give it a try, I can conquer anything kind of attitude, and so he starts out, and that's the start of a very interesting journey, and all the wonderful knuckleheads he meets along the way, and he's transformed. You know, he, like most pilgrims, he has a transcendent experience, and he becomes himself and wins his freedom.
Emilio, what was the inspiration to write this?
Well, my son lives in Spain. He met his wife there about 8.5 years ago, while visiting the Camino with my father. So he's. I figured if I wanted to see more of my son, I had to find a way to work in Spain, and we did. And I hired him to be our interpreter, and he ended up being an associate producer on the film. And so that was the original inspiration. My grandfather is also from the region where the pilgrimage ends, it's an area in Spain called Galicia. And so I dedicate the film to my father's father, Francisco, and
that was inspired by our Spanish roots. Grandson.
Uh-huh. That's wonderful.
That's wonderful. But now, many of us that have a bad taste in our mouth from the Sarah Palin bus tour are happy to know that you two are reclaiming the bus tour. You're on the
way. We were on the road. Is she still out there?
No, thank God. You won't have to worry about careening into her awful colored bus. So it's an 8-week North American bus tour, right? It's The Way, the name of the film, The Way bus tour.
You'll be doing screenings and then doing like Q&As and meeting people. Is that what's happening?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
We've been doing screenings, sometimes two screenings in each city along the way. We're in New York City right now, and we're doing a benefit performance tomorrow night with President Clinton for the Walkabout Foundation.
Wonderful. Awesome. Oh,
and
my.
Then we open on Friday.
Well, if you were really going to keep with the spirit of the film, you would actually walk and not take a bus. I don't mean to, I don't mean to put you on the spot.
So they don't stand in California.
between the
right.
backpack.
Get your backpack, boys. Yes, you're yes. both in good shape. I've
in
seen
each
you.
Of you take one reel of film. You take half the print. Carry that on your back.
All right.
The trailer for this looked amazing. I just watched it the other day, and it looks obviously it's about such a touching kind of poignant topic, but it looked also incredibly funny. And the characters and the actors,
you know,
it's incredible.
At every step, you know, along the way, these knuckleheads, you know, can't bear each other, and they're stuck with each other, and gradually they become a family.
Mm-hmm. Martin, speaking of knuckleheads in comedy, I got to get your take on the Republican field so far for 2012.
Well, when I see them all lined up there, and I think of President Obama, he's still the only adult in the room.
That's absolutely right. That's right. Hear, hear. Well, guys, what a pleasure to talk to you. And you know, we have to ask the prerequisite. Is Charlie doing okay? He seems like he's doing a lot better.
He's doing great. Thank you. He was there at the AARP screening a couple of weeks ago in Los Angeles, and he looked great, and he's a big supporter of the film, and we were delighted to see him.
Oh, good. Well, it will be a good Sheen Thanksgiving then. We're very excited to hear that. Martin Sheen, Emilio.
Every day is reason to give thanks and praise.
Absolutely. There you go.
That's
absolutely
right. Martin Sheen, Emilio Estevez, the film is The Way, and what a thrill to talk to you both. Thanks so much for taking time.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it so much.
All right. There they
bye-bye.
Go. Bye-bye. It's not every day you get a famous father and son on the phone at the same
charming
time.
And they sound
cute.
Exactly
charming.
Alike.
They're adorable. I just want to squish them both.
Yeah. Wait to see the movie. Oh. Like, there's this scene at the beginning of the movie where they're having this conversation about, you know, whatever, the father-son conversation. And they're so twinny. It's adorable.
Aww.
Yeah, like, they really are looking like each other now. It's very cute. Very cute.
I know. Oh, that was magical.
Charming.
All right.
Loveliness. It's a charming people and their loveliness.
Exactly. By the way, speaking of news from the Republican field, oh, dear, Michelle Bachmann.
Was she still around?
Yes. She is apparently there's been a bit of an exodus. Gingrich-like exodus.
A little bit.
That she's lost. Who is it now?
How quickly
her
the mighty have fallen.
And her senior advisor. Yes, she's raising questions once again.
Is anyone there? Out there?
Same cobwebs growing. Is in the Gingrich campaign office. Cobwebs, tumbleweeds, barroom doors.
Although,
barroom doors.
Newt Gingrich is above 10% for the first time in
God.
His campaign.
He's exploding. Look at it.
I know. Oh, and by the way, we have a little bit of breaking news.
Yes.
Apparently, Chris Christie is going to be speaking today at 1.
Oh, we have a new N-word controversy.
Oh, yes. Very exciting. And I'm actually just learning about it now, the N-word controversy. And
Boy. Yes, he his hunting ranch was called N-word Head. And he apparently says, oh, no, we painted over that.
There's God.
Some dissension about whether, because people saw it, I guess some people saw it as recently as 2008, something like
that's
that.
Pretty recent.
Yes.
That's pretty recently. Mm-hmm. That's
The N-word had fallen out of favor by 2008.
Oh,
I would think.
A juicy tidbit yesterday.
Around 2004, we all took a vote. maybe even,
you said
unless your name is Jay-Z.
Somebody said that Karl Rove had his fingerprints all over this
yes,
one.
It looks
they
like,
hate Rick Perry.
Yeah, it looks like Karl Rove dropped this bomb.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Ooh, machinations inside their own camp.
Mm.
The backstabbing and the...
Oh, as if, by the way...
Here comes Pizza Guy. Pizza Guy's feeling puffy and excited. Look at him. He's got 20 people listening to him.
He may be the only one
now.
Left. They may
right?
all be imploding.
Just maybe. Everyone just goes, fine. Okay, that guy. Why not?
Pizza Guy, sure.
People in Florida liked him. And his 999 plan. They just liked that they had something they could repeat.
Yes.
Yes.
By the way,
no, it sounds like the price of his latest pizza.
$5 tax plan.
$9.99, unlimited toppings.
And free twisty bread.
Yeah. So as if Bachmann needed anything else to nudge her out. Did you hear about this?
That's those A-line skirts. Also fell out of favor
in
2004.
Radio show, and a caller said he would rather vote for Charles Manson than ooh. President Obama, and Michelle Bachmann said, hey, thank you for saying that.
Oh, my God. Oh, my
thanks
God.
For that.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, save us all. Good Lord, save us.
Yes.
And Marcus, too.
And that would be her second serial killer gaffe.
The first
John Wayne Gacy.
John Wayne Gacy instead of the other John Wayne.
When she was honoring where John Wayne Gacy was.
She's a charmer.
I don't know. I hope she's keeping an eye on Marcus. There might be some theme here. I don't know what's happening.
You're implying Marcus has clown paintings and bodies under the porch? No.
There might be a little boy. I don't know.
No.
I'm just saying.
He's too busy sewing her outfits.
That's right. All right. 45 minutes.
Oh, hey, stereotype. All right.
All right. 45 minutes.
What did I say? That I would go into the theater later today and talk really loud through the movie, and yeah. I would just balance out my stereotype. I'm happy to indulge in one of my own in favor of, just in support of the one that I just engaged in for the gays.
Okay. Thank you. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Stereotypes Are Us on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Hello, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Isn't that funny?
I was on the phone with Quicken Loans. Hello. Quicken Loans! Proud to be the title sponsor of the inaugural 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic College basketball game featuring the Michigan State University Spartans and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Woohoo! One lucky winner wins a flyaway trip to the Carrier Classic basketball game. Go to StephanieMiller.com to enter Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. All right. So we've been talking about the Republican field. So tomorrow we're going to know about the governor's source from New Jersey.
Oh.
Pardon me. I'm sorry.
It's okay. He's going to spend all night in that little sweat box with his rubber suit on.
Yes. We were discussing the various ways we've tried to lose weight.
You know what he could do? We could do the thing that Beyonce did for Dreamgirls. Go on to master cleanse.
There you go. He's probably doing a master cleanse
probably
right
doing
now.
Master cleanse.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And we thought Jersey.
That's a lot to cleanse.
And we thought Jersey
right?
smelled now. Oh, Ken!
Oh,
I don't know.
All right, and you kiss her.
She's scat singing over there.
I am. I have happening? Done master cleanse. I always forget about that part of it. I'm always like, oh, you get to drink lemonade.
Yeah, you're on some special thing now. All I know is from the two sexy liberal shows you did, it involves drinking like a fish.
Yes, oh yes, well, booze is good for you.
No carbs. That's the only
yes, well, I get all my carbs through my booze. I save the carbohydrates for where they
that's
really
that's what
count.
It is. Yes. She eats just like a, I don't know, like that side of ribs that was on the Flintstones car,
yeah.
And then just booze.
And then booze.
Nice.
Yeah. You know, it's called the dude diet.
I was about to say, that's my diet.
Exactly. When we were in the break, I said, Chris and I are eating the same breakfast.
Yeah.
And it's like big yolk to fit Chris and yeah. Sad, hungry Ayesha. I come
aww.
In. Wait, I have my one egg, and then Chris is like, I ate 12 eggs in a container of cottage cheese.
No, that killed a man.
Muscle head over there. I killed a man once for stealing one of my egg whites.
Exactly.
All right, so we should know, I guess, by tomorrow whether Chris Christie is going to... People keep telling me no, he's not going to, but it feels to me like he is.
Well, it's interesting. I wonder, it is such a difficult thing to run for office, obviously. People get ripped apart like a zombie
yes.
ripping apart a human being in the Walking Dead premiere.
Yeah.
Well,
see,
I'm... But, you know, I don't think he wants to. I think he's being pushed to. And I wonder if that's the right way to get into the race.
Absolutely not. In fact, John McCain... spoke about Chris Christie possibly jumping in the race.
The swimming pool looks a lot better until you jump right in. Water may not be quite as warm as you think.
Yeah,
well, and that's going to be a cannonball if Chris Christie jumps in. I say, gonna be no other water in the pool. It's like Shamu.
Okay. Scooby-Doo, Scubby.
They're too tempting. You
I'm
can't
delirious
help
with exhaustion. I don't know what is going to come out of my mouth today. But you know, I mean,
I feel like Gladys Knight. She's yeah. my comedy pip.
I'm sorry. These are boogity boogity cheese conditions. Something
yes.
else. Something crazy is going to come out of my mouth. But, you know, I mean, I really think that...
Aisha Tyler on her normally is dangerous enough for me in Newsbusters. Aisha Tyler on No Sleep,
I'm a weapon. I'm a terrible, unfettered weapon.
The Newsbusters transcriber has, like, his ear glued to the radio.
Is she even speaking English right now?
Why would... she's saying something objectionable. I just can't figure out what it is.
I know. I've decided to never say anything objectionable at anybody else ever again. And when I disagree with someone's politics, I'm saying, well, God bless them and wish them well.
Oh, bless their heart.
That's what my hairstylist says about somebody he doesn't like. So what do you think about, God bless him and wish him well.
That's the whole
Republican field. God bless him. Wish him well.
Oh, my God. Jim only comes in early when you're here. Look, it's Squeezy McFeel Pants is here. He never comes this early.
Good morning.
Also,
I don't know, does Chris Christie have a family? He's got a family, right?
Yes. Well, and I was expressing concern as an empathetic liberal.
Yes, we care.
Those Republican debates are so mean.
Someone
is going to kill him with a rock like the fat kid in Lord of the Flies.
Oh, God. I do want to say, though, for the record, that killing someone with a rock takes a lot more effort than you might think at first blush. It's not just a single huck and then you run away and hide behind a bush. I don't know. I mean, you know,
mean streets of Marina Del Rey.
As I saw when I watched Rick Grimes kill a zombie with a rock last night at the
Walking Dead. I beg your pardon, Jim. She grew up in the mean streets of Marin County.
Mean streets of San Francisco. I'm going to beat you up right after I eat my veggie burger. Vegan sprouts.
All right. Speaking of the Republican debate, so Rick Santorum says he does not stay awake at night worrying about the jeering of the gay soldier. That didn't really...
What a dick.
Oh, nope. All right. Well, we've had to dump Aisha Tyler for the first time.
I made it this far. No. I want to say that was a pure, obviously unconsidered reaction.
He is indeed a
Dick Santorum by his name.
That's his nickname.
Richard.
I'm
sorry. Oh, that's right. It was a misprint. It looks like Rick. It looks like Dick, but it's Rick.
Exactly. I was Richard. One way to abbreviate Richard would be Rick. Another one would be Dick.
Oh, by the way, Chris, in a related story, I forgot I'm doing a panel here in L.A. For the, talkers.
Yeah.
This month.
Yeah.
Guess who else is on the panel? That guy. I always get that guy confused. San Diego radio host Roger Hedgehog.
Cock.
Excuse me.
Roger Hedgehog.
Oh, see how I get that wrong.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. So you can see how I might have made that mistake with Rick's name and thinking that Richard was abbreviated as Dick and not as Rich. Rick.
No. Yes. All right. Stop it now.
Wish him well.
Stop it now.
Did you get that, Newsbuster?
Aisha Tyler threatens to kill Rick Santorum with God.
The Rock. All right. He said in a perfect world where he's not he would have thanked the soldier.
In a perfect world, he would have reacted with anything less than just abject dismissal at the fact that they were booing an American soldier.
That's what he meant, Jim, in a perfect world where there are no gay people.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Then they all lit their pitchforks and ate their babies.
Why do I keep hearing Don LaFontaine talking about Rick Santorum's perfect world?
In a perfect world where there are no gay people, Rick Santorum dresses in burlap sacks.
And no Google.
And has no... There is no Google.
We improvised a skit.
That happened on the spot. I will vouch and avow that was right on the spot there.
Yeah, he said in a perfect world, he would have thanked the soldier. I don't stay awake at night thinking about this. As for the booing, he said he didn't hear it.
Oh, come on.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Okay. Santorum, in other words, didn't see the reaction as a particular problem, so his apology for failing to speak out against the jeers, less than sincere. Santorum, by the way, didn't even mention the incident in his first appearance on Fox and Friends the morning after the debate. He actually said that morning that soldiers will feel uncomfortable and odd around openly gay service members, and he didn't condemn the jeering till afternoon after a day of criticism from the media and other conservatives.
Can I tell you that article just made me sad?
I know it.
You know what I mean? Like, I can't even get angry anymore. It just makes me sad. Like, this guy's putting his life on the line to defend his country, which is everything that particular side tends to want to claim and steal from other people.
Yep.
And then he's literally, like, taking, like, the easiest kind of, like, most... equivocal.
What?
I didn't really think about it. I didn't really hear it.
I didn't
really
think
know.
About it because I didn't hear it.
Yeah, gay soldiers make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, I love them when
that's
he got
because that gay soldier
criticized.
Would pound you, cream you into paste.
Oh, I know.
I think
didn't
Marcus
even,
Barkman wants to discipline him because he's a barbarian.
Didn't even have the brass to do it to his face. Just
to
a
his
clip.
Face.
Yeah, they booed a clip of a gay soldier. Yeah.
Because if they booed him in his face, that guy would have picked them all up like UFC and thrown them against the
hexagon or the octagon or whatever it's called.
All right. This is only going to get better. 58 minutes after the hour. Tuesdays
Someone's
with Tyler.
Someone's going to write a letter.
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's perking up.
I am.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Now we're rocking through.
Got some coffee in me.
Tuesdays with
I gave her 15 minutes. She'll be asleep.
It's true. I'm like a toddler.
Like on a sugar buzz.
I'm like a toddler. I'm going to dance around crazily and then fall to the floor on the beanbag pillow.
She's just spinning around on her back in the whole commercial break. Okay.
Sleep All where right. I fell.
We are with the sexy liberal Aisha Tyler. Woohoo! The legend is true. She has dropped a C bomb and an N bomb at the.
The legend.
She's not Rick Perry.
The legend of Aisha Tyler.
At sexy liberal shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Aisha Tyler, or I mean, excuse me, Aretha Franklin, was that our Detroit show?
Yes, she was.
Shelley Wright was at our show in Seattle on Saturday.
How
you
exciting.
Just never know who's going to show up.
How was the show on Saturday
in Seattle? Oh, it was
off the
hook.
I love it when you use my people's idioms.
I need two new hips because I climbed up and down over giant amplifiers
oh
at my
God.
Advanced age.
Stephanie's very fit out there, by the way. She's like very fit and
I
limber.
Can barely, ask Chris, I can barely walk today. Seriously, I pulled all the muscles in my left leg over an amp and then my right lower back.
I'm going to give you some of that icy hot ointment.
Something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something like that. Some of that
I do it
ball.
For you, sexy liberal. Go to sexyliberal.com.
She puts it all out there, let me tell you. I've seen it firsthand.
We've got L.A. coming up next in San Francisco.
She's the James Brown
Thank
of
you.
Liberal comedy.
Yeah, baby.
It's all on the stage.
Artist, working woman. And
get the cape and everything.
All right.
Oh, I'm going to be your Maceo.
Yeah, and Aisha Tyler, comes when called. We're building a sexy liberal army, and it's like you see a giant like S on the side of your building, and that's how you know it's time to
it's
activate.
Time. Yes, I'm going to bring the mirror.
Sexy liberals
you
activate.
Come down, you go. I can't take it no more.
When you have a giant phone, like the sexy phone rings, Aisha Tyler knows to answer the call,
and that's the ring
there
right
she
there.
Is. Sexy liberals activate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were reading dates. I'm so excited to see you. I've just interrupted you constantly all
that's
morning.
That's okay. I'm really excited to see you too.
I'm happy to be here.
Because as everyone knows, I love you in a really awkwardly overenthusiastic and yet. Non-gay way.
I can attest to the fact that, yes, she does, because I saw her the other night for dinner, and she was in a very good mood, and then I came home and...
No, she was drunk.
Yeah,
drunk.
Well, maybe that too. And and I came
home... I slobbered all over you and your husband.
I got so much affection, so much Stephanie love. I came home and Jeff's like, what's on your shirt? I'm like, Stephanie's face.
She fell asleep on my shoulder.
She smushed her face all over my shirt. Can't wear this again. That was the shot of Taryn.
You know not to wear anything good when you see me.
No, I want to wear like my jogging t-shirt next time I come see you.
Yeah, my girlfriend and I were like, oh, my God, he's super hot. Aisha's husband's super hot.
We were all in love
he's
with
so
you.
Hot.
You're, it was like the nice, the loveliest group of people.
All
we
right.
felt very smoochy. It was
all
very
right.
smoochy night.
Mm-hmm. All right. So,
and her dogs,
pair...
which look like cows.
Yeah, they're
Have
great
you ever
parodies.
Talked about your dogs?
Ah! Jim, have I ever mentioned my dogs on the show?
You have dogs? I wasn't aware of that.
Max and Fred are the most handsome romantic man in the world.
Thank God you have a girlfriend now.
No, I still talk with them like that.
Oh, God. They are the most beautiful dogs I've ever seen, and they're also the size of like not even young cows, like middle aged cow, like giant.
Yeah.
Like if you ever had to cut one open and climb inside because the night was freezing and you might die, they could accommodate an adult human. I'm not saying
they're
you should
vampires.
Do that, but yes, they are just you're on.
That took a disturbing turn.
I don't know. I'm just saying they're big dogs. They're big dogs.
Okay.
You could also shave them and card their wool and make sweaters. So they're large, hairy animals. Very beautiful.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, everybody has their pet voice, but. It's like Carol Channing.
They're
beautiful. Well, yes. Yeah, he goes, I don't know why.
I enjoyed it.
I just do. Okay.
It was great.
Hmm? Oh, I also, and as you know, I'm now in a gay interracial interspecies thing because my girlfriend Lisa has two black and white cats.
Oh,
I have the two white dogs.
That's adorable.
Yeah, and I've never been a cat person.
Can't we all just get along?
And the one cat is a total biatch. The Oreos.
Look.
Unless I'm bribing her, here's
she's
my thing. Trying,
don't you mess with her. She'll be all right.
Max
that
is
was
terrible.
So ethnic. Do you see what I just did?
Yeah.
It was exciting.
You did
it.
Your Oprah thing. You busted out the
Girl.
Black.
I did that, my little.
So, Newsbusters, if you're doing the transcript, make sure you drop the G's. What? Okay. See, they did that to President Obama. I think. Oh, yeah.
I imagine.
Did you get that controversy? That
no,
was actually.
They were saying he was using N like words with an apostrophe
right,
at the end instead of insanely proper English.
No, but Jim was saying when Bush or whoever, like, you know, Sarah Palin does it.
Perry.
In
right.
like a twangy kind of way.
It's charming.
They clean it up. But yeah. The president, they didn't.
Oh, no, of course not. Why
yeah.
would they? Why
well, because they're like, the president's speaking black now.
He's, yes, with his hip-hop summit and his backwards cap and his hibbity-hop.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Did you? Who was the Fox anchor, Chris, we just played yesterday? Had Herman Cain on, the Republican candidate, and
he's also black.
No, that's what he said. I mean, they're so awkward around black people on Fox News. He said, he said something about, I want to jazz up the,
Chris Wallace.
Here comes, you know, the presidential... Hail to the Chief.
Oh, Hail to the Chief.
And Chris Wallace goes, would you make it more hip-hop?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you make it more rap-hop?
Rap-hop. Rappy? Are you going to wrap it up? Wrap it up, B?
Wrap it up. I'll take
B?
Oh, anyway, I was finishing my cat story. So
yes,
I have
story.
To bribe her with really expensive sushi. That's the point. I'm actually taking her out to sushi bars. And
so
the cat has really become like, I said Toro! Not regular tuna.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I turned the cat into a sushi diva.
And you did it. You did it to her. And now you're going to have to maintain her in the lifestyle to which she's become accustomed.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. I just love this story. Because we love our gun nuts. A pair of Alabama conservation enforcement officers think they've come up with a perfect way for avid hunters to honor their loved ones for eternity. They have launched Holy Smoke Incorporated, a company that will, for a price, load cremated human ash into shotgun shells and rifle and pistol cartridges so you can shoot your loved one into something and kill something else.
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Like when you get up in the morning and you go to work and you do stuff and you know, you see your girl and you make dinner and you do your laundry. Are you ever thinking, God, I have so much free time on my hands. I'd love to shoot the cremated remains of my relatives up into this. Like, I've never at any point been like, there's a huge gaping hole in my free time. What I'd like to do is load up the cremains of my loved ones and fire them skyward.
The founder said people have had their ashes sprinkled in rivers and in the ocean. There's been ashes spread out of airplanes. If you love hunting or the outdoors, this really isn't much different. So you can, you know, load grandma into a shotgun shell and, you know.
Honey, this medicine tastes familiar.
This medicine
tastes
like
grandma. You got grandma on my venison.
You know who I'm guessing is going to do this?
Is it Gamey? Is it Gamey? No, it's Gammy.
Nothing but net. Okay.
Oh, no, you didn't.
Oh, you're not there.
You know who I'm guessing is going to do this is our favorite guy from the internet, the I just shot myself guy. That guy.
Yeah. Oh, son of a bitch. I just Yankton would know what piece of music that is.
I'm
Chris emailing me right now.
Yes,
yep.
I'd love to know.
As we speak.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Here's my other favorite fun stack story. When people don't know things are inappropriate, like naming your hunting ranch N-word head.
What does this even mean? I think if you polled 100 rappers and they use the word all the time, then we don't know what that means.
You use those two words together.
That don't make no sense at all. And then some of the rappers would go, I don't know what that means. That doesn't make any sense at all. Because they don't all talk like that. Some of them talk like me. So anyway, okay.
He's giving Chris a press conference today. I cannot wait for the explanation of the N-word.
Well, the answer is that I'm a jerk.
Herman Cain actually
said
this.
Now stand back while I...
Actually said the word.
Again.
And Stephen Colbert used it extensively.
In the show? The,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, dear. Yes, because now they've made that okay, apparently.
No.
Okay.
Everybody's got
right.
permission.
Here's the story. The chairman of the school committee in Abington, Massachusetts, is apologizing for a magic trick he performed before a televised meeting this week in which he appeared to tear the bra off a fellow committee member through her clothes.
Good Lord above
in
the sky.
It's magic. It's a magic trick.
M-G.
The trick was performed by Russell Fitzgerald, an amateur magician known to open meetings with a little sleight of hand. He was met with stunned silence.
That's what he gets.
He says he will no longer perform tricks before meetings. Well, that's a shame. He could have frozen her bra. He could have pantsed her. There could be swirlies. There could be...
Three card Monty, where's the bra?
Now he's ruined it for everybody.
He really has.
He's ruined all the fun.
All for all of us. I was going to do that magic trick on you later today, Stephanie. And now I'm just going to have to ask you to hand it to me.
I was planning that for the next...
You put your arms inside your T-shirt, you wiggle all around, and then it comes out of one sleeve, like in a middle school sleepover.
I was going to try that the next Sexy Liberal show that Aisha does. I've got Aisha Tyler's thong! You thought you were doing panel, and now I've got your thong.
It's just a magic trick. And now it's gone. Like Kaiser Soze.
All right. 17 minutes after the hour. I don't know. Happened where two states, Laisha Tyler. Next. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. We're in the midst of a totally entertaining and yet thoroughly incomprehensible Tuesdays with Tyler.
It's true.
Aisha Tyler is here on virtually 20 minutes of sleep, and it's like a Fellini, comedy Fellini film of some sort.
Raising unintelligibility to new levels.
It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it.
Did we talk about Hank Williams Jr.?
Oh,
we haven't got to that yet. Okay. You know what? Why don't we do a little Right Wing World since Aisha's here? Why not? Yes. Hank Williams Jr. on Fox and Friends.
I'm so disappointed, by the way.
We were distracted by the N-word.
There's so many things to be outraged over this morning.
All right.
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah, and Biden and Kasich,
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
What?
Huh? Oh,
what?
My God. I'm guessing Obama is Hitler in this scenario. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of a magical
biracial moment when orange people and black people and white people
all came together
to play a stupid game.
On the golf course, yeah. Colbert did something on that where he showed Gretchen Carlson complaining about, who cares about celebrities? Why are liberals always talking about celebrities? And they cut to,
Hank Williams.
Hank Williams Jr.
Now let's go to noted, foreign policy expert
political
Charlie
analyst.
Daniels.
Yeah. They yanked his song off of Monday Night Football.
And now here is counterterrorism.
And that's what he gets. And they better keep it off, too. It can't just be like they do it for 1 week and then hope everybody forgets about it.
Yeah.
I'm going to write a note, and next Monday I'm going to be equally furious I am today.
Thank you. No, it's true. Fox News, they literally, make fun of every liberal celebrity, and they're like, and now let's go directly to now noted counterterrorism expert Ted Nugent.
Yes, exactly. Now let's go to this fossil that you only know from Monday Night Football and nothing else.
Yeah. Todd in Minneapolis on Hank Williams Jr. Hello, Todd.
Good morning. I just wonder if people like Hannity and O'Reilly are going to call for all country stations to boycott Hank Williams Jr. just like they did the Dixie Chicks.
Yeah.
They said something derogatory.
Oh, Todd, you know they will, because if they're nothing, if not consistent.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, of course.
Never a whiff of hypocrisy over there. Yeah, thank you, Todd. I know. That, perfect example. I know. And, I was saying we just saw the official country star of the Stephanie Miller Show, Shelley Wright, in Seattle. She's never been invited back on Fox again. Gee, I wonder what it could be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
In fact, I think she writes in her book, it was the only time ever they didn't actually air her segment on anything.
Wow.
I thought it was live. I don't even know how they
did that. We lost the tape. I don't know what happened.
No, because, she literally went in fill in country singer here that agrees with everything Sean Hannity says, and he didn't realize
Like, because he said something about being a good Republican. She goes, I'm not Republican.
What?
And he's like, huh?
What? Steady, how did you make it through the lib detector? There's a big libby slash gay slash slash.
No, this is before she came out.
Oh,
it was
really?
Just that she didn't. She said something that wasn't, well, I don't really know if I'm for the Iraq war, actually, Sean, or something like that. And it was like,
how did our group just, of
and they hit the trap door. And they've never sent a country singer down through the trap door. That's normally
how yeah, some bookers liberals. Were fired after that, I'm sure.
Right?
Yes.
They sent her down like Veruca Salt to be de-libbed.
This is fill-in country singer here that agrees with everything Sean says.
Well, why would
she's
all,
a country,
all country
singer.
Singers,
how could she yeah. not be...
All country singers think the same thing, don't they?
Ron in Asheville, North Carolina, on Hank Williams, Jr. Hello, Ron.
Hello, Stephanie.
How you doing?
Well, I'm doing fine. I saw you when you came here the last time and went over there to Tingles.
Awesome.
And I wanted to let you know that this Hank Williams rant, of course, uh-huh. that wasn't a real rant. You ought to see his concert when he goes off on Obama.
Oh, God.
And he has the projection here at Cherokee at the casino. He had a projection on the stage of Obama with the mustache.
And a Hitler mustache, I'm guessing?
Yeah. Mm. And he went off on Obama for 4 or 5 minutes. And, of course, there were a whole lot of fellas there and ladies there that were drinking a lot of beer, you know, good old beer-drinking redneck people.
Yeah.
And so they were just eating it up and hoorahing and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And so he was completely degrading the president and his office and running every bit of it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was awful. So he's been doing that for a long time.
Wow.
And ESPN needs to take him off and put him out in the pasture.
Yeah. Well, you know, Ted Nugent, speaking of him, he did something similar. I mean, what did he say, Jim? He threatened the president physically at a concert. And, you know, and you're right. The thing that's more disturbing, Ron, is that the crowd seemed to eat this
yeah.
up.
Yeah!
It's like what we're watching
yeah.
with these Republican debates. They're cheering executions and booing gay soldiers.
Kill them!
Yeah,
it's same kind of crap, you know, but
mm-hmm.
I went there because I'm old enough to be in the Hank Williams senior
yeah.
era.
Yeah.
And I love his music, but don't care anything about Hank Williams Jr., but I was waiting for the segment where Hank Jr. sings his daddy's music.
Yeah.
But there
yeah.
were a lot of people left the concert. I mean, just got up, kind of left it.
Yeah.
It was really, really nauseating.
Yeah, I thank you, Ron.
Thanks for calling, Ron. Thanks for giving us that perspective.
I know. Well, you know, the thing, too, is even just the premise of what he was saying, you're just like, so literally, he is against the idea of anybody even, talking or socializing
yeah.
with the president. I mean, and I guess the implication is because he's Hitler? I mean...
Don't they know that Hitler refused to shake Jesse Owens' hand because he didn't consider him human
yeah.
in the 1936 Olympics?
I don't think that they're thinking logically on any level with this whole
yeah,
line of
you
reasoning.
Think I ain't thinking logically, will they? Something I can't think of right now because my brain is shut off.
It's so disappointing when there's someone who is in the public eye like that, who affects your life in some way, and then you just find the most disappointing things about them. Like, I have to go undo all of the times I jumped up in front of the television at mine and went, it's time for some football! I gotta take all those moments back. I've done that every Monday for seasons and seasons. And now, what am I going to do on Monday?
It's time for some badminton!
Exactly.
It's the same. 29 minutes after the hour. Charlie Pierce next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If I hadn't gone into microbiology, I probably would have gone into physics or ice dancing.
Ow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the... Oh, are you okay?
No.
Tuesdays with a giddy Aisha Tyler.
An unhinged Aisha Tyler.
Unhinged. She is lefty, a violent lefty, unhinged actress, according to Newsbusters. All right.
Lefty.
Oh, and also, I forgot, dear God...
because you are so unhinged this morning, I forgot the curry in my shrimp recipe this morning.
Oh, there's curry.
My girlfriend Lisa texts me and forgot the curry. See what you did?
That is an unusual
now,
recipe.
People,
how can you forget the curry?
It's a really unusual recipe.
That
I
sounds great,
curry.
Actually. I love
You'll
curry.
Have to go back to last hour to get the rest of the recipe now, but curry is the thing I forgot.
Usually women from Buffalo in the 60s didn't even know what curry was.
My mother was a radical, despite the Republican hairdo. She was crazy.
For equal rights for women and curry.
Yeah. She was a Republican in the 1960s putting curry in food.
I saw her at the supermarket the other day wearing slacks.
Listening to sitar music.
Slacks, I tell you. Like a man.
All right, it's Tuesday, everybody. There's only one man now that understands. And that's the author of Idiot America.
Pierce. Pierce.
Charlie Pierce, political columnist for Esquire.com.
Why is everybody always laughing with me?
Charlie's in New York on his way to Occupy Wall Street. Hello, Charlie.
I am outside of Grand Central Station right now. I don't mean to interrupt, by the way. I don't mean to interrupt Rachel Ray on Crystal Meth.
Yes. Thank you.
No!
Oh, well. Now, Charlie Pierce.
Hey, I am on my way down to Lower Wall Street or whatever it is they call it to see what's up.
Yeah. Well, you know,
practice a little journalism.
Wear some goggles in case you get pepper sprayed.
Hey, this is actually, you know, starting to take on steam, isn't it? I mean, despite the fact we were saying it is amazing how much coverage the Tea Party has gotten and how little this has gotten, but I think it's starting to obviously turn around, right?
Well, I would think so, because it's starting to pop up in other cities. It just right. began in Boston, in fact, yesterday.
Well, this is how real movements start, and not ones that are sponsored by Dick Armey and Fox News, right?
That's a person, by the way, not a thing.
I believe that there's a lot less AstroTurf involved in this one than the other one. But, you know, at the same time, they're not getting a lot of coverage, and the coverage they're getting is completely bizarre. Yesterday, CNN had a woman who was inside the stock exchange reporting on it, which doesn't strike me as the best vantage point.
Yeah,
she's on
yeah.
the floor of the stock exchange explaining what was going on outside. Please
well,
go outside.
And then I heard they got a fancy PR firm unsolicited, you know, gave them a boost, sent out an e-blast. And then, of course, you know, people try to jump on that on the right and say, oh, that's hypocritical. And it's, you know, and then I love they also said it's hypocritical. They're using Apple things since they're anti-corporate. Like they're supposed to be using, what, signal fires or... You know,
they're supposed to be inventing their own cyber network out of like coconuts. The professor from Gilligan's Island.
Well, we'll see because when the new Apple or the iPhone comes out at 10 o'clock,
out of a banana frond. What?
Yes. When Apple unveils its new iPhone today and that everything clears out, then we'll know that they're really that it wasn't much of a movement. They care more about their Apple.
Maybe that's what it's been for a week. Actually, just a lot of people getting in line for the Apple store.
Yeah, for the new iPhone.
And then they got radicalized. While they were standing there.
So, Charlie, lots going on this morning. We were talking about Hank Williams Jr. You heard about that, right?
You know what? I think he should still have his gig. What do people expect guys like Hank Williams Jr. to say? No, seriously. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Let him sing his song before Monday Night Football. Who cares?
Yeah. But that's not what they said about the Dixie Chicks.
Well, no, but we're supposed to be better than that.
No.
And by the way, this is Hank Williams Sr.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, let the guy have a gig, all right? He's had a tough enough life. But, nobody with a brain should go on Fox and Friends. That's number one.
Yeah. Well,
because
I mean,
it's hard to be the only brain on the set.
Yeah. I mean, I have to ask you if you agree with Morgan Freeman, who said that President Obama getting in office has made racism worse. And I mean, look, we have like one a day, Charlie. Today, Rick Perry has to give a press conference to explain why he called his ranch the N-word head.
As I am the official ambassador of the Stephanie Miller Show to the black community from the entire white race.
Sure.
Let me give you my opinion.
How exciting.
And then we'll get Aisha's.
I can't believe we haven't met yet. Since I'm the ambassador for my people to yours.
I'm opening the embassy in your pool house.
How exciting.
In any event, I don't know that it's there's more of it, but it's sharper.
Mm-hmm,
and it's getting more obvious. Because there's a more a sharper and more obvious focus to it.
No, I mean, I said this the other night at Sexy Liberal. Where are we going with that? I mean, are they just going to be yelling the N-word at them in the, debates by the time we get to?
What's interesting is I think that there are the people who have always been racist, but there are others who have been kind of emboldened by a target. And then there are all the people who feel anxious. They don't know why they feel anxious, and they're being given something to direct their anxiety at. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, you never think you're racist till, you know, the brown family moves in next door. Yeah, you know what I mean? So I think that, you know, that whenever there's a step forward, there's always a backlash, and there always has been.
Yeah.
You know,
I think the people you really worry about are the people who are willing to exploit it for their own political gain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and what's...
People who are ignorant are just ignorant. But people who traffic in ignorance for their own particular advantage, I think, are truly dangerous.
Exploit the kind of the limited.
There's a lot of that going around.
Mm-hmm. I mean, is this the thing that's going to make Rick Perry finally implode, or, you know, only make him more popular in the Tea Party crowd that's driving these Republicans?
It looks to me like he's being submarined by people beyond the Tea Party. It looks like he's being submarined by people in the party who don't want him to run.
Yeah, that's what Chris said. Karl Rove, probably.
I think it's an old fashioned Texas fishing match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy can't go two steps without stepping on his nether parts. You know.
Yeah. What about it looks like they're saying we're going to know within 24 hours about Chris Christie. He's telling people that we're going to endorse other Republicans to hold off for the next 24 hours.
I'm also hearing now that he's not going to run.
Really?
He's got a press conference this afternoon, and I'm hearing from some folks that he's not going to run.
Wow. I wonder if Rick Perry will also be announcing he's dropping out today. That'll be great. Two dropout, two implosions in one day.
Ironically, for all the
racists on the right, maybe Herman Cain is the only one they're left with, which I just find wonderfully ironic.
you'll notice, however, that when Herman finally mentioned that having a hunting camp named that was probably not the most sensitive thing, you know, any time after, say, 1859, the right jumped on him completely for, quote-unquote, playing the race card.
Oh, God, yes.
And Herman backed off.
However, the name N-Head Ranch is not playing the race card at all. That's just some fine
pointing it out is playing
body
the race
comedy,
card.
So, playing, ranch
playing,
comedy.
Playing the race card is defined as pointing out to conservatives that they've profited from racism for an awfully long time.
Yeah.
That's playing the race card.
So,
else is,
you know, Charlie, you know, being from Boston, of course, it's just are we going to be left with the dog food that no dog wants to eat with Mitt Romney? Is that pretty much just by default?
I mean, right now, it's impossible for me to see how he doesn't become the nominee.
Yeah.
Because he's sort of serenely above all this. You know, he's got an incredible amount of money in the bank. I'm not sure he's everybody's second choice yet, but he's the second choice of enough people. And everybody else is just collapsing.
Yeah. You have a great piece this week, Esquire.com, about the Obama campaign memo, a move to the left, the strategy memo. You say it consists of a list of damaging positions adopted by Republicans. Most of those positions are far to the right of the mainstream, though. Therefore, almost anything within reason can be said to be to the left of them. I mean, that's the point I keep making, is they are so far right. And Jim says this all the time. The president's positions and a lot of the things, they're not left.
No, they're not left.
They're, you know,
they're not left. Many of them are maybe middle of the road, right. And some are pretty right leaning.
He's to the right of Nixon on some things.
Yeah,
you know? I was about to say, he on the political spectrum, he's about where your dad was in 1964.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've said his health care plan is Bob Dole's. It is Bob Dole's plan. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's
never forget to say that.
Yeah.
Never forget to say that it's also Mitt Romney's, because it drives Mitt Romney insane.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
When you mention that.
Well, you say that. The president's...
It was produced in Massachusetts by a conservative think tank called Beacon, called the Pioneer Institute. And the other one, and the one that actually got passed, was produced in Washington by the Heritage Foundation for Bob Dole.
And Charlie, did you see the piece?
The healthcare plan.
Did you see the piece in the New York Times this weekend? I was talking about is, you know, also when Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts, one of his big campaigns was closing tax loopholes on corporations and going after, you know, money from the banks and making them pay their fair share.
Because there's a constitutional requirement in Massachusetts that you balance the budget every year. which means you have to, like, do all sorts of things you might want to do. Otherwise, you're not acting in good faith with your office, which is why constitutional requirements for a budget are stupid, basically, because they force you into doing either doing a lot of things you don't want to do, a lot of things that aren't good, or play accounting games.
As you close your piece, you say, is this memo truly describing a move to the left, or is it describing an ongoing attempt to shove the shifting center back into the middle where it belongs? How people answer that question is going to go a long way to deciding the election. I mean, it's interesting with you being there at the Occupy Wall Street, what we were saying is the things those people are fighting for, majorities of Americans are for. This is some lunatic left-wing fringe group.
I mean, this is the
99%, literally, right?
And from what I've seen and what I've read from these folks, and I'll get a better feeling in a half an hour when I'm down there, they're also taking Bob Dylan's advice. They're not following leaders, you know, and that's a good thing.
Watch the parking meters.
Thanks very much. All the weird. If I hear the phrase "no coherent agenda" one more time, I'm gonna Elvis my TV.
Yeah,
we have a coherent agenda. You know what it is? It's yelling at the right villains.
Well, you know, and by the way,
enough for a start.
And here's how you know it's getting attention, because they're continuing to villainize them in right wing world. Here's Peter Johnson on Fox and Friends.
Clearly, I would think these folks are deluded in a lot of ways, and probably provide the best argument for national service for 18-year-olds that we have ever seen in this country. And so we have the likes of Michael Moore and Susan Sarandon and Princeton Professor Cornell West, all assumedly millionaires, who are speaking out against capitalist greed, against Wall Street, against the government, and against our ability to create jobs and stop the foreclosure of homes.
Yeah, here's the thing, Peter Dick Johnson. They pay their taxes.
Yeah, and by the way, like, they were the only ones there.
Where did Peter Johnson do his national service, by the way? Do we know?
Yeah. But, like, they were the only ones there. This is what they do. Liberal celebrities, like, the stupid celebrities, who cares what they think? Let's see what Hank Williams Jr. thinks about whatever.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. All right.
Yes, and of course, by the way, last I looked, being a college professor absolutely did pay millions of dollars.
Yes, that's millions.
Yes, millions. People are clamoring to go through 9 years of graduate school to get a PhD.
And by the way, leave Susan Sarandon alone.
Yes.
You know why? Because of the lemon scene in Atlantic City. That's why.
All right, you perv. Charlie Pierce, who I get emails after email saying he is on fire in his new gig in Esquire.com. Go check
you,
it out.
Thank you, my friend. Sometime this afternoon we will have the first several reports from Wall Street up on the blog, so take a check.
Awesome. Go check it out, Esquire.com. Love you, honey. See you next week.
See you guys.
All right.
By the way, I've been looking up the online etymological dictionary. There are several definitions of the N-word head. It meant cheap tobacco, protruding root mass in a swamp, a type of cactus, and the black-eyed Susan, a flower.
Wow, so, I bet you Rick Carroll tried all those excuses today.
Until he gets a little knot of credulity. Oh, okay.
I looked it up on the internet.
Now that you put it that way.
47 minutes after the hour. Back with more Tuesdays with Aisha Tyler.
Whee!
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
They degrade women and beavers.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
52 minutes after the hour. Oh, no. Chris Christie won't run. He has just announced that he won't run. And see, now Aisha's being very sweet. She's like, oh, he'd be cute if he lost a few pounds.
I do. I think he's got a cute face in there.
And we're
What'd I say?
And we're helpers. Chris said he really just needs to watch what not to wear. Well, that's all we're saying. Because, you know, although that is a dilemma when you wear to wear your pants.
It's confusing.
It's sort of like if you wear them too low, then it doesn't accentuate it more. But you were saying he wears it right in the biggest part. His pants are... Yeah.
And if he wears it too low...
If you wear it too high, then it's...
He goes on Fox and Friends and I say, are you wearing your pants like the hip hoppers? Got to pull them up to distinguish yourself from the other hip hoppers. You know what? I will say something. I do not want to sound like a weightist. He should lose some weight for his health.
Yes,
not
and his
for
children.
His looks,
yes.
Not for his vanity.
Because he's not just heavy. He's morbidly obese.
And
yeah.
You know, and having members of my family who passed away early from heart disease, he is headed in that direction. So let's not make fun of his weight because he looks plump and juicy, but because
he could die.
Right. And we, you know what? We all have stuff like that we're sensitive about. My dad passed away from, among other things, I think contributing factors from smoking.
Yeah.
And so I get hysterical with friends or loved ones that smoke. I'm just like, yeah.
I lost my father-in-law and my husband's grandfather both died from heart disease, like in early 50s, really young.
Yeah.
Really young. He does not look like he looked like, picking up the microphone, he's like, wait a minute, let me just, and you know, it's like everything
I'm
going to
say
doing.
Once again, because you know, sexy liberal show, we are, that's why we say liberals are sexy, because we're empathetic and open-minded.
I care.
And I think he got out because he heard what I said at the Seattle Sexy Liberal Show on Saturday.
What did you say?
Well, what I told you, that I think that the Republican debates are so mean that someone was going to kill him with a rock. Like
yes.
In Piggy in Lord of the Flies.
Put him out of his misery.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And then I think he, because I was trying to help.
Entrails.
Yes.
The delicious entrails.
Exactly.
With fava beans in it.
It would have smashed his reading glasses first, and then, I'm
right.
Just saying.
Poor Piggy.
Did you,
This is the saddest Tuesday with Tyler ever.
Speaking of weight yes. issues, Melissa McCarthy hosted Saturday Night Live, and she was great, by the way.
She's fantastic.
But I was worried about her just coming down the stairs. She was out of breath.
And she's not that. Yes, I mean, comparatively, like, I've met her in person. She's not that overweight. She's definitely no Chris Christie.
Well, this has been an issue. Like, are we fattest? Are we thinnest? A woman at the meet and greet in Seattle, and presumably she paid more money to meet me. She literally was very sweet, and then she went, "You're too thin. It's the only thing I hate about you."
Hate.
I hate that.
Hate.
Wow.
So angry.
Wow.
Why would you hate?
Well, I don't know.
Well, you are too thin, but that's...
she just buzzed
that's
you.
That's because this tour is working me into the ground and nobody seems to care.
I make shrimp casserole. No one eats it. Working my fingers to the bone.
Speaking of which, Aisha Tyler, we were just in Seattle. Guess where Aisha Tyler's going?
Hey!
Seattle!
Hey.
If you were frustrated and sad because you couldn't get tickets to Sexy Liberal Show last weekend, you can come get... just a single, moderately attractive, progressive show this weekend at the Laugh Stop in Kirkland, Washington. And if you go to AishaTyler.com and click on Aisha on Tour, you can get some tickets. It's just two nights, just two shows, Friday and Saturday. So I actually don't even know if there are any tickets left. I could
awesome.
Be I could be just being a huge tease right now.
She is awesome and filthy live, and that's why I love her so much.
I'm naughty.
She's filthsome.
I am
filthsome, or as we call it on our Archer, smilthy. Smart and filthy, smilthy.
You're smilthy.
I'm smilthy.
It's a smilthy show.
Yeah.
I was thinking of you because I just turned 50, and I literally, I was thinking
beautiful.
Of your routine. I literally woke up with a paper cut on my and I thought of you on my boob.
I thought of you.
Like, how did that happen?
How do you, like, these
you, that's
mystery
your material.
Injuries? Oh, yeah, mystery injuries. That's the sign of adulthood is when you roll over in the morning and you're like, I've blackened and lost a toenail in the
yes.
night. How did I do
yes.
this? Where, like, you wake up with, like neck pain. Like, did a giant choke me in my sleep? Why can I barely breathe? Sleeping apparently exhausts me. Here's the worst part is I remember vividly drinking all night in
yes.
college, rolling over studying for 45 minutes and acing an exam, and now
you can't do that anymore.
Oh my God! At 4 o'clock
yes.
in the morning, I wake up like, shouldn't I have that second glass of red wine? Oh God! What is this reflux? Am I having a heart attack? I think I'm going. Honey, you can have all my CDs. Just don't forget to put gas in the car. I love you. What's happening? What is happening?
No, I am bruised all over my entire
yes.
body. I'm a wreck from the Seattle show.
Oh my God!
I know. And at least Jim told me. At least Chevy Chase knew when to stop doing. Pratt Falls and
no,
I
no,
there's something wrong with
you
me.
Throw yourself
I do
into
not
it
behave
every time.
Like a woman should behave.
She gyrates on the floor like some woman who's just been released from the nunnery every single time.
And she has no padding.
What are these feelings I'm feeling in my loins? Nether regions are on fire.
Listen to me. I bruised my pubic bone and I wasn't
that,
nothing
that's,
was happening
that's
this weekend.
That proves that you're too thin.
Exactly.
I swear to God, I was like, what is
that? Your pubic bone is the most protruding part of your body, it's time to eat a sandwich.
I actually did the nasty with an anorexic woman once, and
yes.
it was like, ow!
Injuries.
Ow!
Injuries.
There's supposed to be padding there. Ow!
Exactly.
No, this is wrong. Ow!
Like, but if I'm ever worried about whether you're alive, I can just touch your ribs and feel your heartbeat fluttering beneath like a bird's heart. Like a bird fluttering delicately.
I can feel your spine through your chest.
Within the
your
fragile
elbow.
Cage of your ribs.
Your elbow just speared my thorax. Yeah, thank
literally
you.
Proving the verity of the phrase, more cushion for the pushin'.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
I the other day, like, I worked out really hard because I was like, this is the other sign of getting older, where you just like, 20 minutes on the treadmill's fine. The older I was like, no, I've got to climb Mount Everest now. Yes. I'm like, oh, I walked for 20 minutes. I got the kinks out. So I worked out the other day. And then today I was like, I'm limping from 30 minutes of exercise. I'm limping to my desk. And then I'm going to eat my brand cereal, and then I'm going to lay down here, curl up underneath it, near the cords of my computer, to die.
Aisha Tyler, go see her in Seattle, Olivia. Yeah. If you haven't seen her live, you got to do it.
Come say hi online, Facebook and Twitter and
all
the
right.
things. Love you.
I love you, Stephanie.
Bye-bye.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. We love some Carbonite. I cannot risk losing my important computer files. That's why I have it. Chris has it. We all have it. Yep. Carbonite Online Backup. It automatically backs up everything in that there computer whenever you're connected to the internet. Go to Carbonite.com today. Type in the offer code Stephanie for a free trial plus 2 months free with your subscription. Carbonite.com, offer code Stephanie. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website, SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website, and the same things on Facebook and the Twitters and the things.
And the,
Google
Plus.
As Jim calls it, anti-social media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Google Plus.
Yes, you
Pardon
have a,
me.
You have a Google Plus page.
Of course I do.
Mm-hmm.
I invented it. Kat was at the Friday Sexy Liberal Show in Seattle. Steph, I was at the Friday birthday edition of the Sexy Liberal Show at the Moore Theater. Y'all were fantastic. What a menage a trois.
Mm.
John Fugelsang, who was handsome in that Kennedy-esque, he is Kennedy-esque. Both his hair and his politics. Was brilliant, funny, and compassionate. Hal Sparks even sexier in person. He brought a hilarious insight on what it's like to come from a red state country. Yes, hilarious. But you, Mama, were the sexiest of them all in those great jeans and your slut shirt. I did a local suck-up. I did the South Lake Union Trolley t-shirt.
Yeah, but you left that shirt there. How did that shirt get removed?
I wore it the first night. The second night, I wore something else, and I just held it up, and then I gave it to the crowd.
Oh.
I threw it to the crowd.
Okay, so it's all not right. Like someone... All right, gotcha.
Oh, you looked amazing. More importantly, you brought all the sexy libs together in one place for cathartic laughs. Yeah, I think that's the main reason, of course, people buying tickets. Mm-hmm. Not really for us, but just to get away from the other people out there.
Yeah.
To just be in there with people that are crazy.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for bringing the show to Seattle for your birthday. You three rocked it. Why, thank you, Kat. And we've got L.A. coming up next, and then October 28th and 29th. Oh, no.
San Francisco, be still your hearts.
I left my heart.
Because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is coming out to you.
In San Francisco.
San Francisco, your favorite progressive hotties are here to recruit you.
It does fit well with San Francisco. It's very diverse.
On October 28th at 8 p.m., Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour will perform live at the Broadway of the Bay Area, the Orpheum Theater.
Somebody did something big to get us here.
Tickets are available online at shnsf.com by calling 888-746-1799 or by visiting the Orpheum Theater box office. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco.
Every other place in America is off limits to you except San Francisco.
Don't fault this show for shaking things up.
All right. And you can go to Sexy Liberal for pictures from the Seattle show. Lots of great new pictures up. All right. Oh, by the way, as you know, I lost the fight to get my 88-year-old Republican mom to not see the show in Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
But thank God she did not hear most of it. But I have won the fight with my best friend to not bring her 13-year-old in San Francisco.
Good.
We'll be watching her backstage, although that could be just as dangerous with Hal Sparks around.
Yeah,
but we're just going to try and, you know, just to distract her. Because I said, I've told you, Chris, I try to warn people that the show is not appropriate for anyone.
Yes.
And yet I can't.
Especially 13-year-olds.
Don't they have speakers backstage all over the place?
Well, they're going to turn all of those down.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
That's
sure.
That's not going to happen.
Mm. Yes, it will. All right.
Don't the performers that are coming up need to know what's going on out on stage? That's why they have the speakers back there?
Yes.
Listen, we've got it covered. We're going to have someone back there distracting her the whole time.
Blindfolding her, throwing her in her closet.
Ooh, shiny
keys. Like Carrie's mother.
Just go in the closet and pray for her. Come on, it's only a couple hours. All right. Oh, here's a scary story. Jim, you were saying that, what's his name, Rick Perry, when he does his press conference a while back, he called his hunting camp the N-word head.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of things for what an N-word head is. And
yes.
What are they?
Gosh, I'm not on that page anymore. One of them was like a black-eyed Susan,
and
flower.
A knotted root ball or something.
Right. Yeah. There's like a winch that they use on ships. They used to call that a vertical winch. But
yeah.
All of that sounds quite...
One of them was a bug, but here's a horror film for you. Hairy crazy ants are invading from Texas to Mississippi.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'm guessing
global warming.
But yeah,
they're really
Rick Perry.
Tiny ants that move very quickly, and they're like
taking
out beehives.
It's awesome, unless, of course, you're in one of the states they're attacking. It sounds like a horror movie. Biting ants invade by the millions. A camper's metal walls bulge from the pressure of ants nesting behind them.
Ew.
A circle of poison stops them for a day, and then a fresh horde shows up, bringing babies. Stand in the yard in seconds. Ants cover your shoes. The flea-sized critters are called crazy because each forager scrambles randomly at the speed that your average picnic ant, marching one by one, reaches only in a video fast-forward.
Wow.
They're crazy fast ants.
Ew.
They're called hairy because of fuzz that to the naked eye makes their abdomens look less glossy than the, you know, the normal ones.
Right.
And they're on the move in Florida, Texas, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Jeez. It's the end of the world.
See, if there was some kind of left-wing Pat Robertson, because those are all red states, I don't know what... I'm just saying, I don't know what the cause of that is.
Maybe Jesus is not pleased with the red states because they have refused to nominate people to the right of Mussolini. Some of them are... I think they're upset about Herman Cain being one of the Republican nominees. Talking about the Mark of Cain. I think they're all going to die in a big lake of fire full of tiny little hairy ants.
But you know what? Because I'm a helper? Because we're sexy liberals? Let me just say one thing to all y'alls. Cedarside. Cedarside.com.
Hey,
type
there you
Stephanie
go.
In the box.
Yep.
Take care of your little Made from crazy ants.
Texas cedar oil.
Crazy, hey. Crazy fast ants. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's lots of folks still want to talk about Hank Williams Jr. Hello, Jim in Seattle.
Well, Stephanie, here's what bugs me. Hank Jr. in the interview blamed Obama for the economy. Gosh, last time I checked, Hank's pal from Texas sent 10 million jobs overseas,
yep.
And 50,000 companies still closing down to this date. On top of the fact, China's got billions of dollars on over end. They don't know where to spend because of it. On top of that, last time I checked, too, the Democrats that he put down, along with Obama, are working-class people in this country, the majority. Now, aren't those the same Democrats that purchased Hank's albums and music, attended his concerts, and made him a fortune over on end and made him famous for Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Is he putting down his own consumers, his own fan base?
Yeah.
Jeez, what a guy.
Yeah, he's a jerk. Or, as Aisha Tyler said, he's a... And then we had to dump her.
Yes, but, well, yeah.
By the way, she had to go to a meeting. We didn't kick her out because she said, but Hank Williams Jr. is a just saying. All right.
He's a Cheney.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Stephanie in Illinois, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Go ahead on Hank Williams as well. Hi, Steph.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I'm the official black country music fan of Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, awesome.
So, but the problem is they can't boycott Hank Williams Jr. because they don't play him. No one listens to him anymore.
Yeah.
As far
yeah.
as the guy says, the Democrats who are his base is, his fans are Southern rednecks. Nobody listens to that guy. So there will be no boycott because they have to play him first and then boycott.
Yeah, he'd have to be relevant like the Dixie Chicks for
exactly.
them to actually,
actually
have any impact.
Aisha was talking about Rick Santorum when she called
I'm sorry. It was Rick Santorum that did say.
But Hank Williams Jr. is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. All right. Oops, I didn't remember my line. David in Washington has a Chris Christie conspiracy theory, in case you had not heard the breaking news. He will not run. He has announced he will not run, like we knew. Or waddle.
Oh,
he won't waddle or anything.
Yeah, he won't go anywhere unless it's on a on a truck.
Hello, David.
Hey, Stephanie. We had a great fun on Saturday night. I loved your imitation of your mom's bird.
Oh, thank you. Yes, it's based on experience, sadly. My mom, watching my mom's bird masturbate, so I had it down.
Anyways, hey, I think Christie has been pulling a Sarah Palin media stunt, and but he doesn't want to be used as a corporate tool, because, you know, the Koch brothers and all these donors want him to run so they can plant an extreme...
And if Chris Christie were a corporate tool, what kind would he be? A backhoe, a Zamboni, a really large tool?
But the kicker is that
the extreme vice president pick, whoever that's going to be. You know what I mean?
Right.
The way for him to die from obesity, and then inject the extreme right wing teabagger VP. You know what I mean?
Ah, okay. All right, honey. Appreciate it. All right. By the by, let's continue a little. Our show's all cattywampus.
Mm-hmm.
When Aisha Tyler is here, particularly on No Sleep, it's wildly entertaining and yet confusing to me. I don't. All right. So we started Right Wing World. Let's continue. Britt Hume on the Britt Bear.
He also said that people are not better off
the president,
than they were 4 years ago. And, of course, that's the classic question famously framed by Ronald Reagan in his contest against Jimmy Carter. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? And it was thought to be the clincher in the argument for Reagan. So the president seems to be conceding that argument now. It means the blame Bush strategy is either being abandoned or at least has been partially abandoned. And it seems to me that it shows that the president recognizes that he's got a real uphill slog.
Yeah, I actually thought it was very smart politically because, it's to try to pretend things are better than they are. But as we've said, poll after poll shows most people realize that you blame the Bush administration for how we got there.
Right, things been getting better, just not at the pace that
right,
would like it to.
Right, but he said they're not better off than they were before Lehman's collapse, before the financial crisis, before this extraordinary recession we're going through. Mm-hmm. He said, I think what we've seen is that we've been able to make steady progress to stabilize the economy, but the unemployment rate is still way too high. Asked if he's the underdog, he said, absolutely. I mean, that's
and
smart politics.
And the solution to that, of course, is more government spending to build their infrastructure. And
which is what his bill is.
Right.
Yes.
And the Republicans are against it.
Yes, of course they are. Glenn Beck.
Whatever it is, I'm against it.
Is he still around?
Yeah,
I
have no idea.
We outlined all of this months in advance. We told you everything that was going to happen with the economy, with the coming insurrection in Europe. Then we told you what was going to happen in Egypt and with Tunisia. We told you that they would not have elections, that this Arab Spring was a ruse, and it was aided by SEIU and the left here in America, and their unions were joining over there. And that the unions would come over here, which they did, and started it in Wisconsin. Well, I think some people are absolutely treasonous. They're treasonous. They know what's going on, and they are refusing to report it.
Especially Acorn and the Black Panthers.
It's American union workers that started the thing in Tunisia, the Arab Spring?
Yes, that's how clever they are.
Wow.
He's an idiot.
No, I did not know that.
Yeah,
by the way, we predicted what was going to happen with this economy, too, back when George Bush was promoting it.
Yeah.
Well, if you give tax cuts to the rich and start unnecessary wars,
got this surplus. It means you're paying too much tax. We're going to get rid of that.
So what Glenn Beck was complaining about was that the media isn't reporting on the crazy conspiracy theories that he made up out of thin air.
Sure, and got fired for.
Okay, gotcha.
19 minutes after the hour, Right Wing World continues to bleed over into the next segment. Just a skosh more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
That's a lot of zeros.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Gene in Vermont. I'm Rick Perry. Hey, Gene.
Good morning, Steph. Love you, Mama, and all the mooks.
Me too, baby. Go ahead.
Call me Captain Obvious, but I just wanted to point out that when the name of Mr. Perry's hunting camp was part of the language in the 19th century, applying to various things, that it was, I don't doubt that it was, didn't make it any less racist then, when racism was institutionalized, than applying it to a hunting camp in the 20th century does. It's a racist term, no matter how it's used.
Yeah, it's like, and please, in Texas, give me a break. Yo, we didn't mean that in a bad way.
No, we're talking about flour.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No need to change it.
All right, let's finish up the right-wing world, shall we? Rush Limbaugh.
The children of illegals are sought for public schools. They'll put up with it.
The children of illegals will put up with these dilapidated schools because for them, it is a huge step up. And these schools become little indoctrination centers for the children of illegal immigrants as they are brainwashed and programmed to become Democrats.
Oh, I see their plot. See, with underfund public schools,
we are
so
much
that
cleverer
the,
than I'd realized.
The children of immigrants can be indoctrinated in the world of far left.
What
are you smoking?
Yeah, Democrats are not that organized to do something that complicated.
All right. You know what? It may be because of the Chris Wallaces of the world that Chris Christie has decided not to run.
New Jersey Governor Chris Christie.
Yes.
He supports, because people are now looking at his record. Over the years, he has supported a ban on assault weapons, supported civil unions for same-sex couples. He says being in this country without documentation is not a crime and that global warming is real and it's man-made. Question. Is he too liberal to be the Republican nominee for president?
It may have been stuff like that that Chris Christie said this morning. I'm out. Yeah.
Could be.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. That concludes that breaking world. Oh, by the way, on all the hubbub over Hank Williams Jr. on Fox and Friends, who said this.
But... You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah, uh-huh.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on, come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Huh?
Oh, my God.
All right. In all the hubbub over that, they missed even the... Listen to me. If what's his name? Steve Doocy makes you look... You can make him look really smart.
Yeah.
Something has really, really gone awry in your life. Did you hear that part? He was stumbling over his words, and he declared Obama and Biden to be the three stooges. Steve Doocy said, that's only two.
Oh, no.
That's only two stooges. I'm not good at math, and I still know that's only two stooges.
That's like the Sheik of Arabia playing ping pong with Kim Jong Il.
Something. Wow.
Why doesn't he take Laura Ingraham's advice and just shut up and sing?
Wow. Yeah, Hank Williams Jr. You really. I have never seen the guest yet that could make Steve Doocy look smart.
That's only two stooges.
Okay.
You said three stooges. That's only two stooges.
Yeah, Steve Doocy's not even smart enough. You know, like, you know, when you do the eye poke, he wouldn't even be smart enough to do the hand, like, to prevent the double eye poke.
Ow. Ow.
Ow.
Ow.
Why do you
ow.
Keep hitting, stop poking doing me in the ow. Eyes? Quit it. Quit it. Ow. Quit it.
Ow.
Ow.
Quit it. Ow.
Stop it.
Ow. Ow. Ow.
Oh, boy. What a dummy. All right.
Well.
All right. Are you ready for a boycott? I guess you'll have to be. Okay. We have... by the way.
What?
Kim Jong-il's grandson is having a Facebook scandal.
Oh, who
we're
going to
see if we can reach a dear leader after this on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I've never been called fierce before. Strident, hectoring has been tossed around.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 2:34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus on the Hank Williams Jr. controversy. Hello, Buddy.
Hey, Mom, I'm disappointed in you and the mooks for not taking out the big thing about Hank Williams thing.
What's that?
He was drunk as hell.
Come on. Yeah, I was wondering, am I going, does he always talk that way in that annoying fashion, or is that just, yeah, I wasn't sure.
It's just like the two amigos. Oh, come on.
Oh,
yeah, it's like
on.
That. It's that drunk racist guy that's sitting next to you in the bar. You're just like, oh, boy, okay. I can't talk now. All right. Yeah, headline is Kim Jong-il's teenage grandson is having a Facebook scandal.
Uh-oh.
I told you, Chris, Facebook.
Source of all evil. It is.
Yeah. High school all over again. South Korean media have discovered Kim Jong-il's grandson's Facebook page, and they're having a field day picking over his blog and photo galleries. Turns out he's a geeky high schooler who likes American movies and gets in comments, flame wars. Judging from his Facebook pictures, the fact that his grandfather is the world's most notorious dictator has not impeded his social life. He's got, there's Chick up there.
Mm-hmm. He's also got orange hair in one picture.
Awesome.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
His grandson?
Wow. Yeah.
His blog posts, Han Sol's his name, blog posts and Facebook status updates also caused a stir as they seem to be at odds politically with his grandfather. He posted a poll on his Facebook account asking if people preferred democracy over communism, saying he liked the former. Oh,
yeah.
No, that cannot have gone well.
K to the J to the I L in the hissy. Oh, I'm so angry I could prat. My alleged grandson, Kim Han So. First of all, where you get off getting a name for Star Wars? We should call you... what's a Wookiee? What's his name? What's a Wookiee? Anyway, he's getting on my last nerve. Damn fool kidding your social media with your Facebook space page linked out, tweeting, whatever. Oh, he is such a pain in my ass. Pouring people over whether they like communism or democracy. Zip it! Shh! I got a whole bag of shh with your name on it. Now he in boarding school in Hosnia Bizical, Gosnia Herzegovina, Yugoslavia! Oh, if only Tito was still alive. No, not the Jackson brother, the former communist leader of Yugoslavia. Just want to go to Hansel's boarding school in Ljubljana, Slovenia, and slap him silly with some baklava and ram kebab. Came out.
All right.
He's Kim Han Solo. That's pretty much
exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
Weird.
Dana in Hawaii. I'm not even going to try to pronounce where you're from.
Aloha.
Aloha.
You can do it. You can do it. You can say it.
Aloha.
There you go.
Yeah.
Is that near Kalalalalala Highway?
No. Hey, when are you guys coming to Hawaii with liver event?
Yes, so we're going to Hawaii.
Yeah, why are we going to
Hawaii? I was for y'all to stay at.
Awesome. Well, we got to get on that. Roland, get on that.
Because we do have stations in Hawaii still.
Yeah.
Yay. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well,
next time I'm doing the whole Pearl Harbor tour.
Sure.
Because I missed it this time. This last time.
Ah, la, la, la. Or as Tom Brokaw would say.
Tom Brokaw.
Don't you hope some news breaks in Hawaii that Tom Brokaw has to
Oh, God, I'm trying to remember the state fish of Hawaii. It's like kumuhumu, numu, numu, akalaka, wakalaka. Something like that. Seriously.
I won't be ordering that anytime soon.
Tom Brokaw say mahalo.
Mahalo. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
All right, kids, we've been a lot of racial scandals going on today. Hank Williams Jr., Rick Perry.
Are you ready for some racism?
No, we're not.
Computer says no.
Herman Cain on the Perry's N-word head ranch.
That is on a more vile, negative word than the N-word, and for him to leave it there as long as he did before I hear that they finally painted over it, it's just plain insensitive to a lot of black people in this country.
You know, you heard the most pathetic thing about this. So then, apparently, when Rush Limbaugh took him to task about that, now he's kind of dialed it back.
Oh yeah.
So I'm done. It's fine.
It's no big deal.
No big deal.
Yeah.
It's fine now.
Yeah.
People yell the N-word. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah. He called it a distraction that we don't need to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, Rush, about that.
God. When are they going to stand for
you
something?
You serve at my pleasure.
Yeah.
Never forget that. I'm the head of the party.
All right. Michelle Bachmann, by the way, oh, dear. She's lost her pollster and her senior advisor in an exodus, raising questions about the viability of her.
Yeah. Bless her heart.
Did you hear she called a radio show, and a caller said he'd vote for, what was it? I don't know, serial killer.
Oh, yeah.
John Wayne Gacy?
Yeah, before he'd vote for Obama. And she goes, thanks for saying that.
We are in the last days of my campaign.
So it's okay, I can say anything. Sure. I can say the president's worse than a serial killer, sure.
Lord, the day is at hand. We are in the last days.
Of the campaign. Of my campaign. You're Jehovah God. Yay! My campaign's just about bye-bye. All right, Michelle Bachmann.
We see that our nation is on the ropes right now. On the ropes economically, with very high employment. Our housing values are down.
It's like rope-a-dope.
Me being the dope, of course, in question. Did you see this? Dick Cheney says Obama should apologize to the Bush administration after the Alawakwala killing.
What?
Yeah. Isn't he something? He said that Obama now needs to reverse his past criticism of how the Bush administration interrogated suspected terrorists. What does that have to do with this, by the way?
Well, he's kind of taking it.
Kenny Crowley said you'd like an apology. It sounds like, well, I would. Is what Cheney said. What does a drone strike have to do with, you know, torture?
Well, in that he was killed without benefit of a trial
or interrogation.
And he's pretty much, they're taking a page from
Cheney. They didn't even try to get any information out of him.
I see. Yeah. Oh, Dick Cheney's saying you should. No, but he was applauding the predator strike. So he was saying you should have tortured him? You should have caught him and tortured him? Is that what he was saying?
Well, no, he's saying that, you know, they deserve an apology because he's doing what they would have done. Mm.
Which is a bit of a problem.
He said he should apologize specifically about torture, which to me doesn't.
By the way, Dick Cheney said yesterday that he hasn't cried in the last 10 years.
Really?
Yes.
He seems so
he cried
warm.
Before?
Cuddly.
He seems so cuddly. That's so surprising. All right, the president yesterday. President Obama yesterday.
I'm used to being an underdog, and I think that at the end of the day, though, what people are going to say is, who's got a vision for the future that can actually help ordinary families recapture that American dream?
And this is what we were talking about earlier, is I think was very smart of him to say politically. The president.
Well, I don't think they're better off than they were 4 years ago. They're not better off than they were before Lehman's collapsed, before the financial crisis, before this extraordinary recession that we're going through. I think that what we've seen is that we've been able to make steady progress to stabilize the economy, but the unemployment rate is still way too high. And that's why it's so critical for us to make sure that we are taking every action we can take to put people back to work.
Oh, by the way, hang on. Breaking news, we have the Hawaii state fish. John in Albuquerque knows it and can say it. Hello, John.
Hi, Steph. How's it going?
Good.
I just wanted to let you know that the state fish of Hawaii is the Humuhumu Nukunuku Apuaha.
Yeah.
No, wait a minute. Go back. Say that again.
Apuaha. Apuaha. Apuaha.
No. Humuhumu Nukunuku Apuaha.
Yeah. Oh, stop it. You're just speaking now. That's not an actual.
Seriously, it's Humuhumu Nukunuku Apuaha.
Apuaha. Apuaha.
Thank you.
Well, that's easy to order. Okay.
I don't think it's edible, really.
Oh.
Yeah.
I have a 6-year-old who can say it just fine.
Whatever, show off. What? And what's the bird?
The bird is just the Nene goose. That's a little easier for you.
The Nene goose?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Wow. Appreciate that, John. Thank you for that useless information.
You're welcome.
All right, thank you.
See, I told you.
Some people think the president was born there.
That's crazy.
All right, the president again.
I want it back.
The jobs bill.
I'm ready to sign it. And so my expectation is that now that we're in the month of October, that we will schedule a vote before the end of this month.
An up or down vote. Up or down vote.
Up or down.
Up or down vote.
Up or down. Remember when that was required on every bill?
Not now. Mm-hmm. I don't want it now.
President Obama needs to put the GOP on the defensive about this thing. Because the GOP, they aren't going to bring it up for a vote, so he needs to put them on the defensive by saying, we need an up or down vote.
When Republicans were in charge, they demanded up or down. Do you remember how many times we heard that? Up or down, up or down, and everything, every nominee.
All the additional nominations serve an up or down vote.
What goes up?
The Senate as a whole will speak with an up or down vote.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
They do not want to vote up or down on these nominees.
Yes, no.
Judicial nominees deserve up or down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
No, not so much.
The president's carny.
Come 2012, every member of the House will be up for a re-election, and they will have to answer the question, in a time of economic duress, what did you do? and what did you prevent from happening?
Talking about the president one more time, Jay Carney.
This president does not believe that the only way we can compete in the 21st century is to dismantle our clean air regulations or dismantle our clean water regulations, basically be in a race to the bottom.
Well, by the way, Rand Paul pretty much saying this is what the Republicans are going to do about creating jobs for you.
But I'd say his chances in the House are about zero, maybe slightly better in the Senate.
Awesome. We care zero in the House about whether you get a job. Yeah, in the Senate, slightly above zero, but not much. Okay, this hour has been brought to you by GoToMeeting. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try it free right now. We love it. Try it. GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in that promo code Stephanie. Be sure to use the promo code Stephanie. 45 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Just stay on this frequency. We'll be right with you. Just stay on this frequency.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Waka, waka, waka. 49 minutes after the hour. Hey, kids, Quicken Loans is proud to be the title sponsor of the inaugural 2011 Quicken Loans Carrier Classic College basketball game featuring Michigan State University Spartans and the North Carolina Tar Heels. One lucky winner wins a flyaway trip to the Carrier Classic basketball game. Go to stephaniemiller.com to enter. Quicken Loans, engineered to amaze. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Gene in Vermont on Dick. Gene.
Hey.
Hello, Gene.
Hello again. Just wanted to say the reason Cheney hasn't cried in 10 years because he outsourced all his crying to John Boehner.
Waka, 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 because he has no soul.
Someone on your Google Plus page says it because he dried up 10 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah, that's why.
Dee in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Dick Cheney as well. Hi, Dee.
Hello, Steph.
Hello.
I listened to the Dick interview,
yes.
And the reason he wanted Obama to apologize is for not calling it what it is, a war on terror.
Oh, I see.
Nitpicking.
Yeah, well, and also he's fighting it a lot more effectively, whatever he wants to call it, than you did, Dick.
It's not fair.
Okay.
That's our thing.
Wow. So in case you hadn't heard the breaking news, Governor Chris Christie has decided not to run,
yep.
Or waddle or any other...
Or jump into the race.
No, yes. So we've been talking all morning about, you know, all these stories coming out. Would we ever elect a fat president? You know, the morality of the fat jokes or not or whatever. You know what I missed in the Kim Jong-il grandson Facebook story, Jim?
Hmm?
He got in one of his Facebook fights with someone.
A flame war.
He said, off, fatty. Go drop your cigarette and your cheeseburger and go read a book.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
He got in a fight. His grandfather's not that slim. At least he eats a lot of beluga.
Beluga caviar.
And also zag nuts.
Zag nut.
Okay.
No, he's talking to an American, like a hyper-American.
Yeah.
Super-American guy.
Yeah, go drop your off, cheeseburger, fatty.
Wow.
He probably talks like, you know, Dr.
Dad.
Kid. Dad. God, you're embarrassing
Grandpa.
Me.
Grandpa.
Grandpa, come on.
Scott
You're
Evil.
You're making me look bad. Scott. Yes.
It's Scott Evil. Okay. Van Jones, our buddy, our pal, talking about Occupy Wall Street.
And it's an extraordinary thing. We know we have the young folks and the struggling folks who are down there on Wall Street. Give them a round of applause. They went down there to the scene of the crime against our future.
Yeah, by the way, here's some not-so-fun facts that Think Progress put together about how unequal we actually are. I don't know if people can actually wrap their minds around this. The ongoing occupation of Wall Street by hundreds of protesters enters its third week. Protests have spread here in L.A., Boston. Demonstrators have endorsed a new slogan, We Are the 99%. See, that's what I was saying in the beginning. Like, something that is real grassroots, it was a little confusing. I had to ask, what is it exactly, or what are they, you know... But this is very clear and understandable. The slogan refers to an economic struggle between 99% Americans and the richest 1% of Americans who are increasingly accumulating a greater share of the national wealth to the detriment of the middle class. So Think Progress put together, just so you know what people are actually talking about. This is not, as the president said, it's not class warfare, it's math.
Mm-hmm.
the top 1% paying their fair share. Number one, the top 1% of Americans own 40% of the nation's wealth.
Yeah.
You don't have to be good at math to get your mind around this.
Yeah.
25 years ago, the top 1% owned 33% of the nation's wealth. So it just, it's getting, if it feels like it's getting worse and worse, it is. Number two, the top 1% of Americans take home 24% of the national income. In 1976, they took home just 9%, meaning their share of the national income pool has nearly tripled, roughly, in 3 decades.
As taxes have gone down.
Yes. Number three, the top 1% of Americans own half of the country's stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. Number four, the top 1% of Americans have only 5% of the nation's personal debt. Number five, the top 1% are taking in more of the nation's income than at any other time since the 1920s. Their share of income greater than at any time other than the Great Depression. And I was going to say, Elizabeth Warren, who is awesome and apparently doing well so far in polling against Scott Brown.
She's tied with Scott Brown at this point. Yeah.
I love how Rush Limbaugh played that clip as if it was a bad thing. That was awesome, her speech.
Yes, it was.
When she said there is nobody in this country who got rich on their own, nobody. Part of the underlying social contract is you take a hunk of that and pay forward for the next kid who comes along. And by the way, she also said you keep a big hunk of that, which you do. Yeah. More than at any other time in history. That's what's ridiculous about us arguing about these tax rates. As we've said before, it was 70% under Eisenhower.
95%.
I mean, we're arguing about something where? In the 30-something percent range? So guess who's targeting Elizabeth Warren? Wall Street lobbyists.
Of course.
Oddly.
As they drink their champagne on their balconies above the Occupy Wall Street protesters.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Their focus on Warren could also help Scott Brown be seen as something other than a lesser of two evils. He's the fourth largest recipient of banking, insurance, and real estate donations in Congress. Mm. He's the one that watered down Dodd-Frank. Yeah. I mean, they don't love him because he voted for it, but he's the one that watered it down as much as he possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
And here is, you know, Elizabeth Warren, who was an actual warrior for the 99ers, you know, 99%, excuse me.
And she's an actual economist.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. By the way, Scott Brown stumbled, the senator full did.
Oh, dear.
When asked a small business owner, asked him why he voted on 3 separate occasions to filibuster tax credits and loans for small businesses. He couldn't remember the specific votes, said he'd find them and address her question at a later time.
Senator.
Yeah. He would get that information and he would gather it together.
And get it back.
I'll try to find you some and I'll bring them to you.
And I will bring it back right to you. Post haste. Okay. Here's another poll. Looky here. A 60 Minutes Vanity Fair poll. Just half of Republicans, 51% and 45% of Americans overall, correctly identify the meaning of GOP. They don't even know who they are, what they stand for.
Wow.
So in case you think, you know, Republicans are getting dumber.
Gritty old.
That's yes.
Perverts.
I can't say in the radio.
Gritty old perverts.
Perverts.
Yeah,
okay,
that works.
Yeah.
Let's see. Well, the right choice, of course, Grand Old Party. The second most popular choice with 35% was Government of the People. No.
Oh, no. Jeez, really?
They're dumb about their own party.
Yeah.
They don't even know what.
That's the last thing Republicans stand for is Government of the People.
Yeah. Grumpy Old People received 7% of the vote.
Well, there's that.
God's Own Party got 3%.
Oh,
yeah,
my
sure.
God.
And 1% thought it stood for Gauntlet of Power. Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
Gauntlet of Power?
I think it was in that video game.
Wow, that's very Elves and Swords of them.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that
Ew.
Is. That's Hank Williams dumb. That's so dumb.
I shall smite you with the Gauntlet of Power.
Let's hear Hank Williams' drunken rant one more time before we go. I can't get enough of it.
You remember the golf game they had, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah.
Remember the golf game?
The golf game.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Biden and Kasich, yeah.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu.
Yeah.
Come on.
Let me make Hank Williams Jr. feel a little bit better. Here is just one guy dumber from the dumb crook stack. Florida police say a man called 911 after bad drug deal.
Oh.
Called 911 after they were robbed at gunpoint while trying to buy 20 pounds of marijuana.
20 pounds? That's a lot of pot.
Yeah, well, you know, that's why they called the cops.
All right.
Okay. That's it for us. Oh, tomorrow's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Yay! I'd like to thank Jim Ward, Rebecca Taylor, and Chris LeBoy. We'll see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.